Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on behalf of the session and the members and the leadership. We welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. As always, we come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Before we begin, I'll have several announcements to make. First of all, the wearing of a face mask is encouraged when you're inside the campus of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church for all events. That's, I think, in kind of respect for the whatever the law is. I don't really know right now. For many years, Cook's participated in Room at the Inn. We plan to withdraw from this program unless we can find someone who can run it and line up enough volunteers. The problem in years past is to find enough volunteers each month. The program would take place one Saturday night each month, December through March. This person would need to find volunteers not only to cook and to clean up, but to also spend the night, which is where we run into some problems sometimes. It's a big job, but before we cut the cord on this one, we'd just like to offer it to the congregation if there's anybody that would like to take it up. So pray over that matter, and if it feels like the Lord is calling you to it, let's have a discussion. We will be receiving our donations to our love box for the family of the three-year-old that was killed recently in our area. Donations may be placed in the love box that is in the narthex next Sunday, September 26th, or dropped off to the church before that date. Thank you. We will be receiving the 10 cents a meal offering next Sunday, September 26th. This offering helps to feed the hungry in our area. Please be sure to mark your donations 10 cents and put them either in the offering plate or the 10-cent box on the offering table that Sunday. Mark your calendars. Cook's Fall Festival. Cook's Presbyterian Women, Men of the Church, and Cub and Boy Scouts will be hosting that this year on Saturday, October 30th. We would love to receive your donations of individually wrapped bags of candy now through Sunday, October 24th. There's a box in the narthex marked Fall Festival. They can be put in there. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this morning are in memory of those who were faithful to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Spiritual Life Adult Sunday School class. And they are indeed beautiful. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements that need to be made before we get started for worship? That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble.
May the name of God, Jacob, protect you.
Some in heroes.
But we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we come together in worship for longing for tenderness because this world can be difficult. We come longing for your light because our lives are crowded and overpopulated with shadows. We come desperately needing direction, finding ourselves ambling through this thing called life, stubbing our toe and bumping our elbows into others. Fill us this morning with your peace, Heavenly Father. Fill us this morning with your grace, O Lord, fill us this morning with your love, triune God. Your spirit is our peace, and we make these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to rise now, those who are able, and sing with me hymn number 463, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Friends, we come now into a time in which we confess our sins corporately and privately, individually to the Lord our God. We do so always and ever reminded of the fact that our Lord, hearing our words, chooses evermore to not condemn us, but instead to find in us His grace. Gracious God, we remember that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But as we come into these moments of confession, that you draw near to us, removing our sin and preparing us for your salvation. So with boldness, let us confess our sins using this morning's prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is nothing good in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared unto men in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of his name. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we can know with absolute assurance that God has washed us of sin and is preparing us even now for his kingdom that awaits. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Please be seated now and join me in the singing of hymn number 300. Come now into a time for just the children, and we'd like thusly to invite them to come and have a seat on the carpet as Mr. Mike comes forward, there he is, to do the children's message today.
Okay, everybody have a seat. I got a question. I want everybody to be honest. This is your time for honesty. Why are you here?
To worship God.
Okay. Okay. Same thing. How about y'all? Don't know. Okay. I figure that would be the answer you gave. But I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give you the answer I know was in my heart at your age. My mama made me come. Okay? I had fear that mama was going to be on me if I didn't come to church. Is that right? Is that a little bit in there? Okay. Okay. That's what I thought. And that's good. In Proverbs, it teaches us, it tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And fear and the knowledge go hand in hand. If we don't fear things, how do we know it's good or bad, right? That's right. That's right. We don't know. We don't know. And we make decisions on our beliefs, right? Like our parents, they brought us to church today. Why? Because they want us to have that seed. They want to sow that seed in us to be good Christians. How many of you ever heard the old saying, you make the bed you lie in? You know what that means?
No.
Okay. You know, making the bed you lie in, sometimes when you make decisions, they're not always the best, but you got to live with it, right? And so we want, as parents, to sow the Christian belief, your Christian entity in you, so you have a good start. And sometimes that works in the back of your conscience. So when these things are enticing you, the devil's around us all the time. Remember that. The devil's working 24/7. He wants you to follow his lead, but we know Christ wants you to follow his. And that's a job. That's a job we have to do every day, is to be Christians, right? And follow what God is teaching us. And to not follow the devil's way. Don't follow down that path of evil or sin. You know, you do homework. You got your homework at school, right? You know what the repercussions if you don't do your homework, right? There's going to be time out. There's going to be, you know, you won't go get to play that ball game, or you won't go get to see that movie or play that video game, right?
We need to redo it. I have to redo it.
Yeah. You redo it and get it done. So the beliefs of what I'm trying to teach you today is having fear is not a bad thing from God. It teaches you knowledge and to respect God's will. Okay? Pray with me, will you? Dear Lord, thank you for the fear that you put in our hearts that we will be good Christians. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, here we go. Thank you, guys. I figured out the problem. My order of worship, the one that I print out for myself every week, doesn't have that in the item. That's why I skip it so much. And if anything, you'd have to know I am so grateful for the choirs and the musical program here. They add so much richness and depth to our service. I don't like to cut them out, but I think I've just found the reason why I do it. So you guys can hold me accountable too, right? Stop! You can do that. All right, let's come now into the time where we read and the word gets proclaimed, and we believe in the Presbyterian tradition that this prepares us for prayer. It's interesting. You know, everybody sometimes thinks that the sermon is the most important thing. And I certainly did for a number of years, but it's there in our book in order that the heart of worship, the most important thing you do in worship, is actually pray. And in some ways, what we do when we read the word and we proclaim it is we're preparing our prayer that comes after it to be really powerful. Why? Because we've heard the word, filled now with the knowledge and mind of God, that what we do right after is going to have pow effect. Now today we're going to double that up a little bit because we're fortunate to have involvement with a children's home in Kenya. You know it as the Kajiado House, and they do an amazing job there. And so what we'll be doing after the sermon, after the word is read and proclaimed, when we have that amazing power, we're going to pray for our mission team. We're going to pray because there are men and women that are departing from this congregation and going on a mission to the farthest, well, it's not the furthest place, but we know Africa is quite foreign to us in many ways beyond the colors of our skin. And while they're there, they're going to be doing the kinds of things all Christians are called to do. And we're going to talk about that in the service, the sermon today. They're there to be a blessing. And so we're going to pray for them, and we're going to, having hopefully at that point the full mind of Jesus Christ, we're going to see that trip and the lives that it will touch, and then we ourselves, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will be inspired. Thing is, a lot of times when that inspiration comes, we head off into the 1 o'clock NFL game, or we have our yards to tend to, and we lose it. How do you get it back? Well, you come back into the same word. You heard a word proclaimed, read and proclaimed. If you want to catch the feeling that we've had, hopefully it's not one of boredom, but if we do see the Spirit and feel the Holy Spirit, then what we do is we re-engage with the Spirit by coming back to the words of the Scripture that we read. See, sometimes Sunday gets to be viewed as like, that's my, you know, blowout for spirituality. I can do it all on that day and it's a great party. Fact is we wither through the week. And so what we do with that feeling inspired by God matters. And today we're going to use it to bless a team that matters. They matter not only to the children in that home, they matter to that region and to that area, but they matter to us, the body of Christ, this body of Christ, because they extend in a very real way our reach into Africa. There are people here inspired by the same word we're going to read this morning that are going to go then and take that word that's burgeoning in their hearts, and they're going to give that word, that ray of light, that sunshine, that hope, that love to a group of people who will come alive as the result of it. And those people that have come alive are in fact creations of God. And they're creations of God that have been activated by a particular people in a particular time. And when you start getting that down, what you realize is that we're all particular people in a particular time. And we all have a mission and a point and a purpose. And oh my God, I'm preaching a sermon that I didn't even anticipate, so I apologize. I need to read the word. Thank you. Anyway, let us pray as we come now into this time of the reading of your word and its proclamation. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read them, mark them, learn them, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to read Proverbs 2, 1 through 8 for our Old Testament reading. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fears of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints.
Helps when you actually pull this out, right? I wish this was a gag, guys. This is not a joke. This is going to be interesting, but I think I can pull it off. I had the men's breakfast. I bet they're on the table over there. All right. So, exciting news. And the reason that it's not as big a deal as I changed the message, as you may have guessed. I was already starting to preach it. But I do wish to read from an important passage of Scripture, and I don't have the Bible up here. This is a comedy of errors, is what it is. Thank you, FD. Thank you. I've never done that before. First for everything. All right. Well, you know, as my wife and I were sitting around Friday was my birthday. Friday was my birthday, and it was wonderful. It's great to get gifts. It's a wonderful thing and a great feeling that people appreciate you. And so I really want to thank everybody in this congregation that chose to give me something or even just annotate that it was my birthday in some way, shape, or form. My deepest and heartfelt thanks. I appreciate your gifts and love every one of them. But I'm going to tell you something, and I've already put this kind of into the wedding, into the funeral policy. You know, it's been the case that I guess members give the money to the pastor. I've always felt that was weird for doing a funeral service. So we ended that policy. I just don't want to take money for that. And there's a reason why, and you can locate it in what Natalie and I were talking about last night. For those women of you who are wondering, I already asked Natalie if I could do this. So we're clear. We're clear. I'm not revealing anything as a marital secret. But, you know, interestingly, for some people, the closest and nearest and dearest person in my life didn't give me a gift. And, we were talking about this. I am not in the least bit bothered by it, and she's not in the least bit bothered by it. We just don't give each other gifts. It's never been our way. Everybody couple has a way. And I was finally able to kind of think about why that was. I was able to think about it along the line of there is really a difference fundamentally in what's a gift from what's a blessing. And I found a great example, a way to think about it. And if I can turn to it briefly, and I think I can, it's going to give us the language which we understand blessing by. Because I think sometimes we think of it as being something a little less than a gift. A gift is a little something less than a blessing. But here's a good way to think about it. A gift is something given to another voluntarily without charge, while blessing is some kind of divine or supernatural aid or reward. The reason Natalie and I don't exchange gifts, the reason I don't, and I know that Natalie doesn't similarly, is that biblically we see each other, not every day and not perfectly, but in an ongoing way, we see each other as a blessing. A blessing is a gift from God that is, in fact, an ongoing one. Blessing has a spiritual dimension in that it's attached to the mind of God, and it also has a lived-out dimension, which is done in us and through us. And there is, in fact, a difference between a gift and a blessing, because a blessing being ongoing and designed to help you and not the person or thing that is, won't manipulate you, which is a big problem with gifts. You know, I gave Mike volunteered to get a book called Influence, which is by a man named Robert Cialdini. Now, he writes books for business people. And basically what he's written in Influence is simply how to win friends and influence people through the lens of social psychology. And so what he has in there is brilliant insights on how to manipulate people. If you're a salesperson and you want somebody to buy your product, here are some things you might want to consider. And there's an entire chapter on what? Being a blessing? Nah. There's an entire chapter on gift giving. Because gift giving initiates in our minds, in a way that's even beyond our understanding, a response, which is a return gift, which, as you can see as a salesman, is awful convenient. I give you a box of Cuban cigars, you give me and my business a contract worth millions of dollars, right? You can see how a gift, not always, can be used to change the playing field. A blessing can't do that, because a blessing isn't going to take whatever it is they want from you and leave and head back to the office. A blessing, by the nature of God, is something ongoing and meant to help. Now let's take that and like open our Bibles to Genesis 12. I'm going to have to do it. You're doing it too. So that's a joke, but let's see everybody getting their Bibles. A joke with force, I guess, would be the way you'd call that. And we're just going to read Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Oh, he's waving at the kid. I see Silas over there, and he's waving. And he's waving at a little baby. It's cute. I thought he was waving at me. Here we go, y'all. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse whoever curses you, and I will curse all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. What we have there is at the very beginning, what God is saying, be a blessing. Be an ongoing way that the world gets turned upside down. Be in motion, in action. But you know what? We think maybe it arose in Genesis 12. Actually, it's an earlier command. It's the lived out version of what we hear very clearly in Genesis 1. Which there, when we read Genesis 1, chapter 1, what we find is that God tells Adam and Eve that they are going to be stewards over all creation and bless this world by bearing God's image in it. Do you see? God's design included our salvation. We've talked about that in the beginning. But it also included a vector for us. Okay? And the vector for us is stewardship, which is lived out through blessing a society or a person or a group of people. And that blessing is to shine Christ's light very clearly into the darkness. This is not something that is not foundational for the love of Jesus Christ. My experience is that the more I find in the Bible, it isn't the case that the mind wants to go back to the Bible. That's where theology kind of messes with us. It says we got to figure out this system. So I'm going to go figure it out. The Bible speaks polyphonically, if you will, right? I think that's a music term. Lots of different noises and sounds, but the great news is we're the perfect vessel to hear what God wants to hear in that moment. So when we turn to the pages of the Word, we're going to hear a melody that is both beautiful and also personal. It's for you. It's going to point you in a certain way. It's going to determine the course of your outcome. There are songs, and I will never play them in this sanctuary, by the Grateful Dead, that I find it almost impossible not to dance to. I got dyspraxia. I'm not a pretty dancer, regardless of my size. Right? But when I hear those songs, there's one response. It's dance. In a similar way, when we read the Word and we understand that we're supposed to be a blessing to the world, we read it and we hear, and instead of dancing, we are cast out into the world, away even from the safety and sanctity of our homes and our sanctuaries, to go out into that mess and be a blessing. It's that simple. How do we know it? Well, it all goes back to Abraham. Abraham and the nation that followed him was going to be a blessing, an ongoing aid and helper. And that carried in, and that carries all the way to Jesus Christ. We go into Galatians 3, I believe. Galatians 3 draws the link between Jesus and Abraham. And it's an important one that we don't miss, because that makes us, the church, the continuation of, it makes us the continuation of Abraham's story. Abraham, called to be a blessing, is now continued by us, the church of Jesus Christ. What Paul writes in 7-9 is this of chapter 3. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Do you see? To come into this party, it's a party. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it should. To come to this party, you've got to be on the tree of life. You've got to be part of this story. You can't hack your way in. You can't con your way in. You can't manipulate your way in. It has to be through faith. That means that people that try to stimulate and artificially raise faith sometimes fail. But they think that they've got something, and that can make theology, and that makes things really bad. Friends, what we have is a command to be like Abraham. We're that family. Paul makes this analogy even clearer in Romans. In Romans 8, and again, I'm not going to waste y'all's time for flipping to scriptures that I should have had in front of me. But in Romans 8, you're going to find this passage that Paul speaks of, taking a wild olive shoot and grafting it onto the tree of life. All right? What that means is that we, by faith, that is, in fact, a gift, are taken and jammed onto the tree of life and nurtured in such a way that we begin to draw from the root system, not of the world, but of God. And we grow, and we get pruned sometimes, as John reminds us in John, I think it's chapter 5. We get pruned because God wants greater growth from us. If you see what I mean, if our root system is actually tied into the people of God because it's God's community, and God's community had one job, be a blessing to the nations, man, that becomes important for us, doesn't it? It becomes the means by which we change lives. Jesus closes out the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28. At the very end of the chapter, you will find some of the most heard words in the entirety of the New Testament canon. It's the Great Commission. And Jesus Christ gathers his disciples on the mountain, and this is what we read. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus Christ, at the end of his story to the disciples there in Matthew, pulls them all to what has got to be an amazing place. And he says to them, "Go therefore and make disciples, teaching, baptizing." It's the language not of gift, but of blessing. It is an ongoing process. You can no sooner make a disciple of Jesus Christ in a day than you can, I guess, something like a stadium. You can't do it. It takes work and time and effort. It takes teaching. It takes nurture that is teaching that isn't known to be. You know, they talk about those poor children that grew up in some of the Eastern Bloc countries that were crumbling and as such had no money. And so the orphans would be warehoused and they just didn't get any love. It wasn't that people were abusing them. Their needs were met. But they had another need that nobody knew about. You see, there's a point at which a baby can't understand care unless it's been cared for. Unfortunately, that area of the brain seems to close, and it can doom a child to a life that's miserable for them and miserable for us. Friends, when there isn't the love of Jesus Christ in people's hearts, there is something in them that is entirely absent and missing. They don't know it. They would if they'd look at their lives a little closely. Everyone that doesn't have this sense of God's mercy and grace, not for others but for themselves, will over time become hardened in heart. It's one of the reasons why rates of depression oftentimes increase with age. As we age, if we don't have the love of Christ in our heart, we see how wrong the world is. We see the power of sin not only in the world but in ourselves, and it makes us sad and dejected. It's only with that robust awareness that God is so wonderfully good that he looked at the canon of my life and your life and saw all the wonderful mountaintops. But you know what? He saw all of those days in the valley when you wandered away from him. And he looks at that entire thing. He sees every one of those sins. And he says, "Yeah, that's one of mine. For I will remember their sin no more because I gave them the faith of Jesus Christ before the foundations of the earth." You can't lose as long as you move. And what do I mean by that? If we're called to be a blessing to the world, and we're taking that as the means by which we feel superior to other people, the which means by which we erect artificial towers of Babylon in our theology and then use that theology to beat someone mercilessly with judgment, when we simply are apathetic toward worship and non-existent when it comes to evangelism, what we can say is we're grafted onto the tree of life. Nobody can deny that. But maybe we're not fully in. Maybe there's something right there at the connection that we just don't have. But we know that the Holy Spirit won't leave us there. If we hear the word of Scripture, what we find is that word called sanctification. That God is making us better over time. There are things that I do not do today that I would have done happily 10 or 15 years ago. And I credit not myself nor my wisdom, but with God's wisdom. Because when I really read the Bible and really saw that some of the things that I was doing, some of the ways that I was operating were categorically non-biblical, I could no longer deny or work my way around the excuses. And this, for y'all, is one of them. For all of us who hail the Lord Jesus Christ, there is something about picking up the ball where the predecessors left it, meaning where did the generation before ours leave the church? Where were they as they went off into glory in the 1950s? Because they're the ones that really are affecting us, our great-great-grandparents. Where did they leave the church then? Do you think they had the pews like this? They didn't. Most of them didn't. Now, we in the church like to blame. And so we say, it's society. That bad society. But who's out in society? We are. All right? Now, if we're being a blessing, and other people are receiving that blessing, you know where people are going to come? Right here. You know why? Because when we're a blessing, we write ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit. Better way to say it is God writes us. God justifies us through our faith. That faith is not only our salvation, that faith is our mission. We often lose sight of that. We in the Western church tend to make it just about salvation. Yay, we're saved. Congratulations, we got that box checked. But are we a blessing? Are we an active blessing to the world and the people in it? That's a different question. And my contention has always been, if we get the word right, if we get our Christian practice right, then we will be the most powerful entity in the world, and the only power we'll possess is love, which means we won't dominate, we won't discriminate, we won't anything to hurt, only to love. We got a big mission. And it's one, if you look at it, looks darn near impossible. I'm telling you, it's not. I'm telling you it's not because Jesus Christ tells us it's not. He tells us that nothing is impossible for those who have faith. How do I know I have faith, Pastor Jason? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord? Most of us have got that, I assume. We understand that Jesus' lordship is entirely due to his judgment powers and his mercy. And his love. Do you believe in your heart Jesus is Lord? That's one part of the graft onto that tree of life. Do you confess him with your lips? And I don't mean necessarily just going out and doing good work. Good work is important to the world, and the church is a powerful force in it. But when the church detaches themselves from their real blessing, teaching others the way of Jesus Christ and nurturing them until they're able to embrace the faith and carry the ball on their own. Unless you've got some way of doing that, that you are actively doing that, it may be why the graft doesn't take as well. Because the true word of God comes alive and it sends people into mission. Now, we've got a group that goes very, very, very far away, and thanks be to God for that. What they're doing in Caggiato is nothing short of miraculous. We just have no idea how other educational systems work, how other family systems might work. We assume, somewhat arrogantly, that everybody is like us because we're the best, right? They're not. One of the educational system problems in other countries is that it's an entirely paid for and voluntary entity. I don't know that that's the case in Kenya, but I do know that when those orphans are nurtured, unlike those babies in Romania and those other places that somehow lost their capacity to receive love, and thus they lost their capacity to share it, which means they're going to be problems. They're going to struggle. But unlike those kids, there's a group that has taken up the love of Jesus Christ. They've heard the true word of God, and then they go. Abram didn't wait. I didn't read that. Well, I did, yeah. Abram, as soon as he heard God's word, he took off. You're hearing God's word this morning. We know how some people are responding, and we praise God, and we're going to bless these people because they're making a huge difference. They matter. In a way, not only to Jesus Christ in Kenya, they matter in a special way to us here because they keep us ever reminded that there are things not only beyond our walls but beyond the bounds of the city. And they're not things, they're people. And they're not people, they're children of God, and they're not just children of God. They're the people we're called to be a blessing to. And so we got to be there on an ongoing basis. Now the question becomes, I know what they're doing. What are you doing? How are you being a blessing? How am I being a blessing? These are the questions we ask ourselves after we get the first one right. Am I saved? Yep, there's a check in that box. Am I in motion? Am I in service? Am I a blessing? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We come now and invite the people that are heading off to Caggiato to kind of step forward. Oh, hey, I probably ought to get a mask. Sorry. This is where I would typically do this. I like it here. You want to go?
Wherever you want to do it.
I like it here.
That's usually where we do
it. Yeah, good. Well, not this month, but early in October, right?
The second of October.
Yeah, early in October. This
2 weeks.
Whose birthday?
Petey's birthday.
Oh, hey, happy birthday. Jet lag. That's your present. In the early part of October, these ladies will join a group that is going to get on a plane and go to Kenya, Africa, in a difficult time. We've seen the Delta variant really wreck things. As such, this was a trip that had to come without a lot of the fun parts. And yet the people of God respond. They always do because they know who Jesus is and they know what they want them doing. And so we're going to pray this morning not only for their safety because we want them to be safe. We're going to pray not only for their return because we want them back because we couldn't do much without this group of ladies right here and others and many others. But we're going to pray for their effectiveness because they're there and they get to enjoy and share the love and nurture, but they're there on a mission from Jesus Christ to make his son known and make his rules and his teachings be heard. And that's the blessing, is that it gets to be done in a way that enriches these individual souls. But the harvest that they produce for the Lord is even bigger. I'm going to tell you that dynamic is available to everyone. You can pour your life into something for other people and give it everything. And you may think it's going to exhaust and deplete you and run you to ragged. And it does sometimes, I'm sure. But the thing that these ladies and others would tell you is what they get back is about 100 times better. Right? Mm-hmm. You can do that too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word tells us to go out into the world because we confess, O Lord, that if it were just your word, we would probably stay rather contentedly on our couches with our remotes in our hands. But Heavenly Father, your word reminds us that we are an active people. They will, in fact, know us as Christians by our love. And so, Heavenly Father, whenever and wherever God's people go out to share your light and your love with the world, we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would not only be a blessing to them, but that more importantly, you would allow them to be a bigger blessing to the world. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word has spoken and resonated within this group's heart. We know and pray that equipped by you and by their wisdom generated from you, that they're going to go and make a difference in people's lives. Heavenly Father, we pray that you add to their mission. Give them entirely of you, your Holy Spirit, such that the world is blessed with blessing. Allow them to positively litter Kenya with your love. Allow them in that special home and place to shine your light so brightly that it simply cannot be ignored. Heavenly Father, we pray for their safety and their travels there, their safety on their travels back to us here at Cook's. And most importantly, Heavenly Father, we pray that through them, you would bring us a harvest, O Lord. A harvest unseen by us, but known to you. And in some small but important and holy way, Cook's connects ourselves to the broader church world in Africa. Allow us to be nurtured by them and us to nurture them in turn. Gracious God, we pray for this trip, for its points and its purposes, just as we pray for Kajiata House. Heavenly Father, we also pray for the care of this congregation. Heavenly Father, we pray especially this morning for the Poplin family as they continue to travel with Harmon's loss. Oh Lord, we pray for the Gilmores, Lord. We pray for little Hayden as he recovers. We pray for Jill Griffin, Heavenly Father. We pray for all of those who are sick or ill or just grieving or lonely or anxious, O Lord. So too do we pray for this community, this nation, this state, and this world, O Lord. Help us to hear your words to be a blessing as well as praying for our enemies. O Lord, in all things and in all ways, we are your children, and we today hear your word and respond through our glorious eruption into the mission of Jesus Christ, to go, therefore, and make disciples. And thus we conclude our prayer this morning, finishing with the prayer Jesus Christ taught us praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed and having commissioned our mission team, it is right and fitting that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you shower into our lives, just as we thank you for bringing us here. Having returned a portion of them back to you, O Lord, in response to your word, we just ask that you bless this offering. Use it to help the people that are blessed by you be a blessing to the world as you commanded us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, we're all called, and please be seated. We're all called into worship the Lord. We respond to the Lord's goodness and grace through our work in the church and learning the word and then sharing the word in thought, word, and deed. And in that way, the lights of the world turn on. You know, if you've ever had the chance to see a ball field's lights come on in the night, it's an interesting experience because it's dark. And those big bulbs, they don't light up brightly, at least they didn't a long while ago. I haven't seen this in a while. But they light up gradually. They go to a position and there's a little light and you can see all right. But man, when they get turned on, you can see everything. Now imagine the people of God are those lights and we're just warming up. We haven't hit our maximum wattage. Think about what this world looks like when we get up to ours. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Let's stand.